one of those things. A couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in
that. What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier?
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. The Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Wednesday. It is Wednesday. Which makes it hump day.
Hump day. What's happening, man?
Morning, Randy.
How are you?
I'm great.
Okay, well, that's good, man. I'm great also, man. Great also.
So we're tied for great.
All right, then. Well, let's have a great show, then. What we usually do, though, so.
We're going to give it our best.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we got some stuff we got to get into.
It's one of those days where it's kind of set up to have a great show.
Right.
Because there's so much stuff happening. The Braves make a move last night. Atlanta United makes a trade yesterday. Hall of Fame voting yesterday. Falcons and Thomas Dimitroff talking down at the Senior Bowl. Like, we got good guests. Jason Longshore coming in later. Brandon Adams from the Dog Nation Daily podcast going to stop by in the noon hour and talk to us about Brock Vandegrift as well as all the changes on the Georgia offensive staff. There's no shortage of things to talk about.
No, it's not.
It's just up to you and me not to screw it up.
I mean, but you know we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
At some point.
Yeah, at some point today it's going to get, you know.
It's going to get weird.
Yeah, but who cares?
I don't care. We'll get to what's trending coming up in 20 minutes. And again, there's a lot trending today. So looking forward to that. Try to catch up on everything that's happening in the world of Atlanta sports and outside of Atlanta sports a little bit today as well with some of the national stories that are going on. We'll get the big deal, small deal, no deal at 1040. Bryant Gebhardt going to step in studio there. But we start with what the Braves did last night. We were asking for what the solution was going to be now that Josh Donaldson was in Minnesota. And I mean, I don't know that they'll ever directly admit this, but I think Marcell Ozuna was probably plan B.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a pretty good plan B.
Not bad,
A pretty solid plan B. Now, it's a one-year deal, $18 million, the exact same thing that Cole Hamels has to be here in Atlanta for next season. So you also look back to last year with the one-year, $23 million deal that Josh Donaldson had. They seem to really like one-year deals, and I think there's a very specific reason for that, which we can get to in just a minute. But if you talk about just what this means for the 2020 Braves roster, which is as far ahead as you can really look on a one-year deal, pretty solid option in the cleanup spot.
Yeah, I mean, we needed a cleanup hitter. He is going to be that guy, and a guy who is more than capable of handling that role. And also, you got your other everyday outfielder with him and Ronald Acuna. So I guess it'll be a rotating between Acuna, because the only person that's going to move to center when Ender is in is Ronald.
Mm-hmm.
So you got all that worked out. And I'm not upset with the move. I just find it curious that you go get another outfielder. So is that telling me right now that it's going to be a competition between Johan Camargo and Austin Riley for that third base spot, which, you know, we kind of figured that's what was going to be
well,
the thing.
Well, you were pretty convinced of that anyway.
Yeah.
Right? When Donaldson signed with the Twins, and I'm sitting over here holding out hope that maybe they'll make a move for Bryant or Arenado, which was always unlikely to happen. And again, even more unlikely to happen when they make moves like Ozuna on a one-year deal. And we'll, again, get to the protecting of the prospects and how valuable that seems to be to Alex Anthopoulos. It is interesting that I guess that is where we are. I guess that's going to be the plan. I feel a lot more comfortable knowing that those two guys are a platoon at third base batting, what, sixth?
Yeah.
Or seventh?
Probably sixth.
Then a platoon at third base.
Who's going to bat fifth then?
And then an attempted platoon also in the cleanup spot. I don't know. I mean, it goes Ronald Acuna probably, Ozzie Albies, Freddie, Ozuna.
Do you put Ozzie right there or dance? We'll figure.
I don't know. Darno, I'm not sure.
Yeah, we'll see. No, I forgot about Darno. Is there. My thing is what does it say about some of the prospects, like a Drew Waters, like a Pache? Are you going to leave them down for one more year? We all know how they do these top-notch prospects as far as when they let them play. They hold them out, then they bring them in season because they get the extra year arbitration, all that other crap that they like to do in Major League Baseball. But, you know, you got a proven commodity right now that's going to bat behind Freddie. And like I said last year, we didn't see Josh Donaldson having this year. We knew the capabilities that he had, you know, being a former MVP, but we knew the capability, but didn't see anything because he was hurt. Well, we just saw what this dude did, and we saw what he did to us firsthand.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the guys who scored some of those 10 runs in the first inning of Game 5 against the Cardinals. We don't have to talk about that, but that is the last thing we saw Marcell Ozuna do. Again, sorry, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try to correct myself.
Okay.
It's not Ozuna. It's Ozuna. It's Acuna and Ozuna.
Okay.
The N does not make the same sound.
Right.
It's not an Enye. It's just a Ozuna.
All right. Anyway,
I'm gonna be harsh on myself about that.
Might as well be. I mean, nobody likes anybody to mess up their name.
No mistakes.
Yeah. Well, we know that's not gonna happen. But I mean, again, the 1 year deal. What if he excels in what if he has an impact like Josh Johnson had? Then where are we at again? Are we at a situation because he's only 29 years old?
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So my thing is, was there no interest in him from anybody else, or was he? I mean, was anybody else going to offer him this much money? Why didn't the Cardinals retain him? I mean, there's so many questions when you look at it, and he's only 29 years old. So what if he goes out and he does his thing? So, all right, so we'll be back in this situation again last year. Well, what do you do? He just played well behind Freddie. He's a really good outfielder. Then what do? Do you bring him back?
Probably not.
That's what I'm saying.
Probably not. Probably not.
Okay.
I think it's – to me, it is the same thing as Donaldson. Like, you brought Donaldson in because Austin Riley wasn't ready yet.
Right.
Right? And Camargo and Donaldson – or, sorry, Camargo and Riley was not an appetizing solution going into the season last year. So you brought in Donaldson for 1 year. He was great. I mean, if you were going to retain someone off of a performance, you'd think you would do that off of Donaldson's performance last year. But I understand the age concerns. Mm-hmm. I understand the injury concerns. I understand the length of contract concerns and all of that. But the reason that you bring in Marcell Ozuna is because you don't believe that Drew Waters and Christian Pache are ready yet.
Yeah.
So after 1 year, I mean, I don't know if they come up mid-season like Austin Riley did last year. I don't know if you leave them down all season long. What I do know is that the thing that I think Alex Anthopoulos has made most clear in his tenure here in Atlanta without directly saying it, and he's talked about it, but without directly saying it, is he has a very high value and a high commitment to the farm system that he inherited.
Yeah, because he inherited it.
He inherited a great farm system.
Yes, he did.
And he does not have any interest in blowing that up for the sake of whether it's going out and getting an Arenado or whoever. Like, whatever you would have to give up in the short term to get these guys to play on your team next year, he's committed to the long-term plan of, okay, I inherited a farm system that has guys that look like Major League Baseball players, like legitimate all-star Major League Baseball players. And he's been right about a lot of them.
Then let him play.
He's been right about
a lot of them. Then let him play.
Well, they're not ready yet, I guess.
If I hear one more thing about Christian Pache in the list or the number two prospect on whatever damn magazine him and Waters is, I'm going to lose my mind. Let him play then. All right? I'm tired of hearing about him, and you ain't going to let him play. All right? So what's the point of having him? Just to collect him, throw him up in the attic with that old lamp. You know what I'm saying? With no lampshade. I mean, really? That's what we're doing right now with this prospect.
Him.
When the hell are they going to be finished developing?
I don't know. They're not yet.
Okay.
But here's the thing, though. Like, again, and I'm with you. Like, I want all-in win-now moves. That's what I want, okay? But I'll make at least attempt to make an argument for it after we give away $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code
word is... grand.
Date. Date. D-A-T-E. You have until 10. Why did she perk when I said date? You have until 10:59 to text the word date to 72881 for your cell phone. That's 72881. Message and data rates may apply. Please do not text and drive. And for complete rules, visit 92.9thegame.com/rules.
What?
Date.
You have a date?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, why did he say?
I don't know. Text it in. Win some money.
Win some money, man. Come on.
I'm with you in my lack of patience. I am. But just because you're over there being a little less patient than me right now, I'm going to play devil's advocate.
But I'm not. Okay? It's not about being impatient. It's about.
It's not.
No. Why haven't they played?
Because they're not ready.
How do you know they're not ready?
Because they haven't played.
That's not. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Because we know what they do with these guys, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, you didn't give a dude $18 million to wait 2 weeks into the season to bring Drew Waters up to play in his position.
No, you didn't.
Okay, because he's going to be your starting corner outfielder
The
right
good
now.
Thing about outfield, though, unlike third base, is there's more than one position.
Yes, three of them.
So if Christian Pache decide that they're ready, well, then you slide Acuna to center. And then you let one of those guys play right field.
But here's the thing with it is now you're we are we 100% sure now that Austin Riley is going to be the third baseman?
No. Not 100%.
I'm talking about that he's going to play there now because you ain't got another outfielder. So are you going to have three like backup outfielders with Riley, with Mark, with Cakes, and then with Duvall?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the good news is the roster does expand to 26 players this year.
It does.
So like you can have an extra outfielder if you want to. But no, I don't think there's any guarantee of anything on Austin Riley. He's still got to come to spring training and prove that he can hit a damn curveball.
Yeah.
Or anything that breaks.
And how do we know he hasn't done it? Because I'm telling you, if he has figured it out, good Lord. Watch out for the break.
Oh, yeah. The most important thing.
If he figures it out.
Yeah.
Watch out for them damn Braves.
Well, you saw what it was last year. I mean, a huge help for the lineup was when Donaldson went to the cleanup spot and Acuna went to leadoff. And everything started to click. You had a great top four. The real difference, though, was that, 6-week period of time, 5-week period of time where Austin Riley was a bona fide slugger.
Yeah.
And that back end of your lineup was great, too. Because remember, you had Dansby back there before he got hurt.
It was great.
Yeah, it was.
It was great.
You had the longest lineup in the National League, or at least one of the two longest lineups in the National League for a portion of the season. And then Riley regressed because the pitching caught up to him and Dansby got hurt. And then your lineup wasn't so long anymore. The idea is to make sure that you have that long lineup all year long. You can't really account for injuries, but you've got a pretty decent bench right now, too. Like, you've got guys coming off the bench right now that would have been starters on your team 2 years ago, which is good.
They were starters.
Some of them were starters on your team 2 years ago. Now, again, I'm with you in that I want to see all these guys come up. But you'd never get to see these guys come up, and maybe that would be okay if you traded some of these top prospects to get a big name like a Bryant or an Arenado or something like that.
But would you rather do that?
Would I rather do that? Yes.
Would you rather give up Drew Waters or Pache or somebody for a Bryant, a Arenado, whoever? Would you be prepared to do that?
If it was Arenado for me, then yes.
Would you be willing to give up both of them?
That's tough. It's hard to give up both of them.
Yeah, exactly.
I would give up some pitching prospects and one of them.
Man, I can't do both of them. Damn them pitches, man.
You got a lot of pitching prospects.
I don't even like hearing about them dudes no more, man. Damn them.
It's Arenado, though, man. He's hitting 40 home runs, so yeah, but, you could talk me into it.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I want to hear no more about no pitchers and nothing. I don't.
But here's the thing.
I really don't.
Here's what Anthopoulos is telling you.
What?
All these one-year contracts are him telling you that he's waiting on those guys.
Man, them dudes I'm glad this song came on. They're a bunch of wanksters. That's what they are.
Who's a wankster?
All them damn pitchers up there in Gwinnett.
Kyle Wright? You call Kyle Wright a wankster?
Yes, I am.
Wow.
Yeah, until you show me that you can do it up here over there in
Bryce Wilson?
Until you can do it over there in Truist, you're a wankster.
Ha ha! That's harsh. We'll come back and get to what's trending, including what Carlos Bocanegra is talking about here.
And we just were not finding a solution.
No solution, so they had to come up with one. Figure out exactly what he's talking about there, probably Julian Gressel related. Coming up next in What's Trending on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
0-2 pitch, curveball, a shot, fair! Down into the corner it goes. Fowler is in. Right behind him is Edmund. He will score. And in the second base with a 2-RBI double, Marcell Ozuna. 5-3 Cardinals.
Why in the hell would we listen to that?
I was real curious.
Because it's Marcell Ozuna. He's
really?
He's a Brave now.
Oh, yeah.
Courtesy of TBS there.
So you play a cut of him killing the Braves.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That sounds like a Brian. Yeah,
it was a Brian decision.
No. We're not even gonna do it. We're gonna call it a Brian.
Now, what exactly would a Brian?
I'm still
be?
Trying to, you know, pinpoint and narrow it down to the positive of what I can make sure what a Brian is. Like, remember, I made what a Knox.
Yeah, you know, well, you also said what a bunker.
What
was.
A bunker was. Well, that was
that.
Wendy's idea.
Oh, that was
Wendy. That was Wendy's idea.
Thanks,
yeah,
guys.
That was a Brian.
Okay. Anyway, Marcell Ozuna is a member of the Atlanta Braves.
A
now.
Dumb decision. There it is.
Brian?
Yes.
No, I don't
yes.
like that.
Yes.
Brian, I think, is like the...
It was a subtle joke.
Brian is like the rudder of the ship here.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like we all bring different things to the table, but Brian's the thing that steers us in the direction.
So true, but you can still have a Brian.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. $18 million for 1 year. So...
A gap. Yes, a gap. Here we go. Wendy again saves the day. So it'll be a gap from now on. Yes.
All right. Now, was signing Marcell Ozuna to a one-year deal a geb?
I don't think so because you needed that bat. And, again, he's a capable cleanup hitter. I'm assuming that's where he's going to be behind Freddie.
I would think so.
And he's capable of doing that.
You know, he won a gold glove in 2017.
I know he did. That's why I said you have another outfielder where you don't have to platoon, because right that was another spot where you're looking at where it's going to be Cakes and it's going to be Duval. They're going to be out there platooning. The only person of those two that will probably maybe back cleanup will be Duval. Now you have your definite cleanup guy and your starter out there in outfield.
Yeah, and you got guys that can come off the bench and actually hit the baseball.
Yes.
You can bring Markakis in against right-handed pitching. You can bring Duval in against left-handed pitching. And you've got guys that can play defense in the outfield. I mean, that's something that's really great as well, and something that I think was overlooked on the Braves team last year was what good team defense they played.
Mm-hmm. A lot of that had to do with who was third baseman, too.
Josh Donaldson had a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
You're not going to have that type of defense at third base this year. Yoan Camargo's okay. Austin Riley, too little to know. But, I mean, they're not Josh Donaldson defensively, so you're going to miss that there.
Yeah.
Now, as far as offensively, I mean, Ozuna has been good. Not as good as Donaldson was last
Correct.
Year. But you go back again, if we're talking about 2017, that year that he had, that was a great year. 37 home runs, over 100 RBIs, won a gold glove. It is kind of crazy when you look around baseball right now. At the Marlins that are just everywhere?
Everywhere.
Like, how did they not? Anyway, whatever. I don't care about the Marlins. But they had a lot of talent on
dude,
that
team.
Dude,
they had some dudes. They had some dudes. And could you imagine if they had them dudes in that stadium down there?
Right.
And bring some energy to that place? Man, the Marlins, they're up there with one of the worst run franchises. But they got two of them things, though. They got two
they
of
do.
Them.
They do.
They got two of them. And they blow them up right after they get them.
They do.
But, I mean, okay. Is this move like putting me over the top of no? But I mean, it's a solid move. You got a solid guy who's ready to plug and play right now.
Is it an all in move?
No.
Have the Braves had an all in offseason?
Well, I mean, you got to have an all in because what are the expectations for this squad?
My expectations are the same.
Okay, but so just because they didn't get what Brian or Arenado, does it change the expectations of this team? Hell no.
No,
because they got a lot of other stuff. That's what I look at. They got a whole lot of other stuff. So I mean, you move on from it and. You see what they do? I'm sure that as the season goes on, closer to the trade deadline, they'll see about the starting pitching right now, you know, because Mike, you know, Soroka's there. You got Freed. We don't know who Folty is. I mean, I wonder if I can get a refund for that damn bracelet.
They were like $2.
Okay, and that's $2, you know.
Times four, that's $8.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I don't think so. We wore them.
Yeah, I know.
Boone chewed mine up.
Mine's on a hibachi table somewhere.
Maybe we could trade it in for one of those King's Court towels that Felix Hernandez used to have when he pitched. But then he'd have to actually pitch in a major league game.
Yeah, I forgot. I forgot to bring
Don't forget about King Felix. King Felix coming to town, maybe. At least going to Gwinnett.
Well, ultimately, we're trying to find a resolution. Julian, ourselves, and his agent, we're trying to come to a solution, like I said, and we just were not finding a solution.
Yeah, so Julian Gressel wanted more money than Atlanta United was willing to give him.
Which he should have.
Which he has every right to want.
Yes.
He earned it, absolutely. And that's the problem with MLS right now, the way that the finances are structured. You can really only pay three guys what they are worth. And then you have to split $4 million through the rest of your roster.
That sucks.
It does suck. Ugh. It does suck. And I know we were hoping that the CBA would get resolved in time for them to maybe have more money in the salary cap to pay Julian Gressel what he's asking for and what he's worth. But I guess Atlanta United wasn't willing to wait for that to happen. They didn't want this to linger throughout training camp and linger throughout the CONCACAF portion of their season. Jason Longshore is going to join us later on in the 1 o'clock hour and try to help us make even more sense of this. But Julian Gressel was traded yesterday, and I think that the thing that stands out to me the most, and I think people are absolutely right about this, is the fans are frustrated.
Yeah.
Julian Gressel was a fan favorite.
Yes, he was.
One of the more recognizable guys on the team, one of the better players on the team. And not only that, you traded him to a team that you don't particularly care for.
Yeah,
DC United is not a team that we're sitting here having good thoughts about.
Yeah, I mean, I want to know, as United, you know, I'm a big fan. Are they cash-strapped? I was thinking about that when I was driving. I'm like, damn, they ain't got no money. But, I mean, of course, it is a salary cap type thing, and without the CBA, I mean, you lose a guy, you know, he's an all-time assist leader in franchise history, which hasn't been around a long time, but 35 assists, that's really damn good.
That's
a lot of damn good. It's really good. And the fan favorite part, people have heard about it, but, I mean, that's just being a fan of a player. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure they'll find somebody that, I don't want to say can replace him, but can do some of the similar things that he does. Again, Jason to be on. Is that guy on the roster right now? I mean, what kind of moves are you planning to make with this Millie? I mean, you got it. What you going to do with it?
Don't know. It's good to get money for these guys, and they've done that. They got good money for Darlington Nagbe. They got good money for Julian Gressel. The thing that makes me more comfortable, though, Randy, is you've got a proven track record with Carlos Bocanegra and Darren Eels in using their money wisely. Just think of the guys they added preseason and in-season last year that made an impact. Emerson Hyman was a huge impact player last year.
Yeah.
Justin Meerum was a really important player last year. Pogba proved to be an important player at the end of the season last year. And these are guys they just went and grabbed.
Yeah.
Like, again, it would be nice to have a little bit more, you know, continuity and be able to keep these guys year after year after year, but that's just not the way that it goes. I mean, it's a harsh reality of professional sports. You can't keep everybody. And you talk about general managers and team builders that do a really good job of getting rid of guys before it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bill Belichick is always the example that I don't know if that's what happened with Julian Gressel.
That couldn't have happened with Julian Gressel. We talk more about that with Bill Belichick as far as the production. Julian Gressel was still being productive.
He was.
And so was Nagby and all these guys. We thought we kind of felt Nagby. Nagby wanted to leave.
He did.
He wanted
nothing
to go.
Nothing you can do about
home.
That.
And they also signed a striker, Adam John, from mm-hmm. Phoenix Rising. I saw that. Didn't Andrew Charlton? And
He's
been loaned out, too. So, I mean,
Indianapolis or something.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of change. I mean, I'm sure were we under the assumption that all these guys are going to stay together? I mean, no. I mean, eventually.
No, that's just what you want.
Eventually, that's what you want. Of course, that's what you want. Because
you fall in love with a championship team, and then you get sad when certain parts of the team leave.
But the thing about it is, if you go back to that championship team, of all the big major contributors that are not here anymore, LGP and Darlington, now Gressel. I mean, there's a lot of guys that were big in the
Almarone
that when they won it, they're not here anymore.
Yeah, Parkhurst.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Hey, Garza. they're all gone.
Damn.
You still got Joseph.
We got Joseph still.
Joseph's damn
good.
Got
that dude.
He was the MVP of the MLS a couple years ago. He's very, very good.
I need Pitty. I need your big boy pants on now, homie.
We'll chat with Jason Longshore, like you said, later on in the show and make sense of all of this.
The main thing was just wanting to stay closer to home because I have a really big family and just I love them being at my games and stuff. I like the new offense coordinator, Coach Munkin, a lot, and I believe that Coach Smart has the program moving in the right direction, and I wanted to be a part of it.
That's the voice of Brock Vandegrift, Randy. He was on the morning show earlier today with John and Hugh. He's a high school football player, but he committed to Georgia, mm-hmm. was it yesterday or the day before that? Five-star quarterback, big-time quarterback. He had been committed to Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma, which I do think is a pretty, like, impressive indicator of how good this kid is.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only player that only quarterback Lincoln Riley went after in that class.
Mm-hmm.
And so for him to, you know what quarterbacks do in that program. They win Heisman trophies and they get drafted number one.
Yeah, I mean, good for the kid. Like, we talked about a little bit about it yesterday. I got a chance to listen to a little bit when he was on with John and Hugh this morning. I mean, real polished young man, but he's still a high school kid that can't do that for me right now. I understand the significance of him, you know, committing to Georgia, but you know me, buddy. Until that early signing day in December, and until his name's on that line, that fax goes up to the buttsman.
Yeah,
it's just all, you know, speculation right now. He doesn't seem like type of. I don't know if he's the type of kid that would be committed because he did already. You know what I'm saying? So he likes smoking, which is definitely a plus. So I mean, we'll just sit back and wait till 2021 when he gets an opportunity.
He could probably get you like a discount on homecoming tickets or something.
Probably.
Like if you're talking about what he could do for you now.
Yeah, probably. I mean,
maybe get you into the winter formal or
something like that. Yeah, I mean, I might be able to go up to a game. Prince Avenue was a spot back in the day at Georgia, man. That's where the Club Zebra was. Yeah. Never mind. Club Zebra was where you had.
Oh, I mean, obviously, I've never heard of it, been there.
Yeah.
But I'd like to hear some stories from Club Zebra at some point.
The Z, maybe.
Maybe later in the show.
Maybe.
What's Trending, by the way, brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Protect your home against heating and cooling breakdowns with a tune-up for just $89.95 or upgrade now for a new train system for just $109.99 a month.
Yeah, but we haven't been like that. We beat Tennessee a week ago, right? We went to Memphis a couple weeks ago. I mean, we're growing up, right? And it's a hard league to grow up in. It's a hard league to win in. But I'm not really worried about morale. I mean, if somebody really struggled with getting up to continue to play after being in a battle like this tonight, I'd be more worried about my morale, right? Like, I couldn't play those guys, right? I mean, I want to see guys continue to grow up because that's what this game is.
Tom Crean talking about his basketball team last night after they lose to Kentucky. They've lost 4 out of 5 now, Randy.
Yeah, man, and they don't have a very good record in the SEC.
No, 1-4.
You know, and Anthony Edwards, he started real slow last night.
0 points in the first
half.
And
I know Seth Greenbright, who I love, he said something interesting on the broadcast. He's saying he doesn't look at Anthony Edwards as a draft pick. He looks at him more as a prospect.
Yeah.
Meaning that this guy got a long way to go, man.
Clearly.
And they talk, I mean, Tom Crean said some things about him, like, how motivated is he to be great? Do you just like to play basketball or do you like to win? I mean, it was some stuff.
There were moments in the second half last night where it's like, hey, man, you guys are down by four. Go get the ball.
Let's go,
man. Go get the ball and take over, number one draft pick.
Hey, join Andy in 99 Game this Saturday for the 45th annual Atlanta Camping and RV Show at the Atlanta Expo Center South from 2 to 4 p.m. Atlanta Camping and RV Show is this Friday through Sunday. Visit AtlantaRVShow.com for discount tickets and more info. And then you get to go meet Andy.
Yeah, come learn about camping.
But he better not have that damn hat on.
I'll teach you how to make a fire out of just sticks and leaves. We'll come back and get to big deal, small deal. No matches. Brian Gebhardt going to join us in studio next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, you know what it is. You're listening to The Midday Show with Andy and Randy on 92.9 The Game. Pay attention.
Oh,
good advice.
When did we get that one? Like, that's new.
That is new.
That is new. Yeah, that's pretty good right there.
That is pretty good.
Dude, could you imagine being his kid?
You'd never misbehave.
Oh.
You'd do whatever you were told immediately.
Yeah, hey, boy.
How deep does your voice get when it comes time to discipline?
Oh, dude, they know the deal, man.
Couple octaves?
Yeah, they know. They know when it is. They know what it is. I ain't got, or a look.
Yeah, your looks are better than even the mean voice.
They know that damn look.
It'd be so hard to misbehave in the McMichael household.
But they do.
Now, of course they do. They're kids. But you get that look. It's like, oh, dad's serious.
But they do. Yeah.
Of course they do. All right, 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. We are going to get back into what Thomas Dimitroff just said there about the Austin Hooper contract negotiation. Also, I know this is a while from now, but it is the Senior Bowl this weekend, and our guy Jason Butt from The Athletic is down there covering it. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to Jason Butt on Friday about all the guys Thomas Dimitroff's looking at, stuff he's hearing about the Falcons' interest when it comes to the players that are playing in the Senior Bowl. So looking forward to that coming up on Friday. A couple things to look forward to today. Alex Anthopoulos is going to be on with Dukes and Bell this afternoon at 4:45. Obviously, with the Marcell Ozuna signing yesterday and everything going on this offseason, an Alex Anthopoulos conversation is something to look forward to this afternoon. Brandon Adams, Dog Nation Daily podcast, is going to join us in the noon hour, and Jason Longshore going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour to try to make some more sense of the Julian Gressel trade and where Atlanta United goes from here. Before we do any of that, though, here's Brian Gebhardt, or Geb.
Gebby.
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal with Brian Gebhardt on the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Big Deal, Small Deal, No Deal. The creation of the phrase Geb for something that you do that's dumb. But just any of us.
Yeah, that's it. I thought we changed it, though, Gebby.
We morphed it
a little bit.
Little bit.
What is it now?
Why did you do that?
Oh,
or why did you say that?
Pulled the Geb. Yeah. Why'd you do that?
Yeah. So that's where we're at.
That's fair. I'll take that a little bit more than just a flat-out dumb decision.
Yeah.
Although I do have some of those from time to time.
Well, you're pretty good. At this point, we all learn from our past.
Yeah, that red shirt you wear. Yeah.
I'm still going to wear it. You're going to get it once a week.
Yeah. What's wrong with the red shirt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a joke between me and Randy.
Yeah, between me and him, dude.
Oh.
Now, the thing is, I have two of those red shirts. There's a long sleeve and a short sleeve, so there's a lot of versatility in it.
Dude, you guys just pull a you wouldn't understand it's between me and Randy on me and Wendy?
Yeah, y'all wouldn't get it.
Yeah, I think so.
Because me and him, we worked together forever.
All right. Wendy. Me and Wendy worked together for a long time,
too. Yeah, but no, y'all won't understand.
We're going to create
just
our
something
own thing.
With that red shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get it. Just like when you wear that blue vest.
Stop reaching.
Right, Wendy?
Stop reaching.
Remember, because when we talked about that before, that thing that only we know about, that was hilarious.
Yeah, stop reaching.
So I bet you guys wish you knew about that.
Yeah, what you got, Gabby?
All right, big deal, small deal, no deal. Atlanta United heading into this season without Julian Gressel, Michael Parkhurst, LGP, and Darlington Nagbe.
It's a big damn deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know who's replacing them.
And I think that's the biggest thing is who's replacing those guys. And when you talk about a core, a way of doing things, those are big parts of that, of what this Atlanta United culture is, and they're gone. And now who's going to replace them? I don't know. I mean, I'm interested to see.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is it's coming sooner than we think that we're going to get to see.
No, absolutely. They've got a game in, what, less than a month as far as the CONCACAF goes. So they're in the middle of training camp right now, and right now they're trying to figure out how you replace all those pieces. I do have to go back to, though, like, the track record of the front office and the track record of this team, they've lost big pieces before. Now, maybe not this many at once, but I think you can still make the argument that the loss of Miguel Almiron might be bigger than all of these people combined. Well, like, Miguel Almiron was the most important player on that championship team. Joseph was the MVP of the league.
Right.
Miguel Almiron was the most important player on the team.
Because he did so many things yeah. for you and eliminated mistakes with his speed with yeah. the ball and was able to get the ball forward so fast.
And they still had an incredible record last year. Mm-hmm. They still won a playoff series. They should have been in the MLS Cup yeah. final last year. They won the U.S. Open Cup and the Campeones Cup last year. So after that loss, which everyone's like, how are you going to replace Miguel Almiron? How are you going to do this? And even Pity Martinez, who was the presumed replacement, didn't even have like that great of a year. But he was up and down all season. They still won all those games.
I think our whole thing, going back to when we found out about Pity coming and then he was going to wear 10 and all that, we were assuming that he was Miguel Almiron's replacement, and he wasn't. Because sure. they were completely different. But mm-hmm. we didn't know nothing. I mean, of course, the soccer guys like Jason and those guys, they knew more about it. All we knew is that this dude was that whatever the phrase that we don't say on this show, and we knew that he was coming in and all that. So we're thinking it's going to be not a drop off, and it was. And then you throw in them learning a new system and Frank DeBoer. Yeah, it was going to. But you know, we still got that dude. That dude with the silver blonde, whatever color he want to wear his hair, dude.
Yes, Joseph Martinez yeah. is still the striker on this yes. team, which is incredibly important. Here's what else I think is incredibly important heading into this season. If Barco can stay healthy, and Barco's dealt with injuries.
Yes.
Especially last year.
Yes.
If Barco could stay healthy, he might be, I don't know, Joseph's going to be the most important. But Barco's right up there.
Yeah.
And look, this could be the final year you get to see him if he stays healthy and plays great.
I think he's going to do that thing. If he's healthy, he's going to buy it.
European
here.
Teams are going to want him. Yes. Because when he's healthy, he's incredible. So that's something that I think is being overlooked a lot. I mean, you can't control for health, and you know there's no way that you can predict that, especially with a guy who's been injured a number of times in the past. But I expect Barco to have a remarkable season in 2020.
Big deal, small deal, no deal. The fight between Kansas and Kansas State last night, right at the end of that game.
It's a big deal, man.
You can't be fighting like that. Also, that dude who got his shot blocked, who did the initial instigator of the whole thing, dude, the game's over. You're going to steal a ball like that? He should have got his whipped. You know, because you don't do nothing like that. And your coach told you not to do it, and you just go ahead and do it anyway. That's selfish, but at the same time, it's a big deal.
Here's the thing. And this happens occasionally in sports where, well, it was like a Jose Bautista, if you're going to bat flip and pose and stuff like that, like someone might try to fight you. Like the guy who stood over the guy whose shot he blocked last night. Like that, okay, show off, showboat, mm-hmm. try to show him you're the man and all that stuff. Someone might try to fight you for that.
Yeah.
And if they do, okay, be ready to go. Yeah. Because he was not interested.
But it was
he was the one who was the least interested in the fight.
It was a typical basketball fight, though. Not a lot of connects.
Yeah, except for the guy who picked up the chair.
He wasn't going to hit nobody with that chair.
Are you sure?
Yeah, he wasn't going to hit nobody with that chair.
He
man.
Looked like he was getting ready to nah. overhand yeah, throw
he
it.
He wasn't going to hit nobody with that
Whoever
chair.
Whoever blocked you know, that chair, that was the defensive yeah, play of
yeah.
the night.
But basketball fights are different. But it was funny. I was listening to a commentator who actually called the game. He was talking about some of the guys that were in there fighting, talking about some, this dude ain't played in 3 years. It's the most action he's gotten. Yeah. I mean, basketball
you know,
fight.
You know, the main instigator of that fight, and I go back to my opinion from a couple weeks ago, was wearing white jeans. Don't wear white jeans.
Yeah, I mean,
people that wear white jeans are always starting trouble.
I mean, unless you're Dean Spanos, owner for the Chargers. I mean, because he rocks in white.
Unless you're a billionaire or a painter.
Yeah, a painter.
Don't wear white pants.
Yeah, I agree.
Or a girl.
A girl. What's wrong with a girl wearing white pants?
I don't know. Wendy said she owned white pants, and I don't want to be. A
oh
jerk.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, you said or a girl.
Yeah, if you're a woman,
you can wear them.
A painter or a billionaire.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Those are the only caveats for white pants.
Ever?
Yeah.
Like you can't wear like some white linens?
Yeah, white linens are good.
Yeah, okay. I'm about to say, I got some white linens.
You're thinking of a lot of examples for white pants.
You wear them with some thong flip-flops and a nice cool button-up.
That sounds nice.
Man, I'd be sharp, dude. With that leg cross, with that ankle flipping. Join the Hawks during Peachtree Night as they take on the... As they take on the Clippers tonight at 7:30, get your tickets today at hawks.com/tickets.
Ankle flipping?
Yeah, you know.
Like flip the ankle over
you
know, it?
You got that leg crossed. You just...
Oh, you're cool. You might have a cigar.
Yeah, you're just cool.
Mm-hmm. That sounds cool. We'll come back and get to an NFL no huddle. Hear from Thomas Dimitroff, who I think wears white pants sometimes. Don't go anywhere.
Sports
Radio.
Guy.
Yeah, he's a white pants guy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.